Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, I feel like I'm living a country song today in that my wife has the flu and my car died and I'm supposed to go to Arkansas in 3 days.
Oh, your car died. That feels like a dearly loved old friend loss. That's not like my Honda Civic.
The cat, man. The caddy, it's been with me for a long time. So I'm pretty sad. I don't know how dead it is. It still has to be like diagnosed and we have to get the official word. But yeah, man, I'm kind of reeling. It's been a tough morning, boys. So I'm going to try to be a pro.
It's reached that point in its life, like when a people get to a certain age where like you hear grandma gets a broken hip and you're like, ooh, this could be the end.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the broken hip for an old Cadillac.
Dude, that's it. When you have an old car, like everything could be the end. You know what I mean? Because you're always weighing like how much will this cost to fix versus how much is the car worth? And yeah, it's tough, man. It's a tough conversation to have, Pipe, for sure. But boys, I'm going to pour myself a couple of Ligaris Roasters coffee and buck up and just be a pro because that's what we do in this business. And that's maybe you guys can teach me some things about my Enneagram that could help me through this tough time. Let's save that for a little bit later, though. Head to happyrantpodcast.com. Get your tickets for Together for the Rant live in Louisville 2. Grab yourself a bag of Ligaris Roasters coffee and join us in those things. But, boys, we have plenty to talk about, namely the Olympics. The Winter Olympics have started. This apparently happens like every 4 years, and it's apparently – where is it this time? Is it like Korea?
I don't know how to pronounce that.
Well, it's somewhere in South Korea, not far from North Korea.
Spell it, Pipe. What is it? It starts with a P.
Honestly, I have no idea.
Interesting.
The only attention I have paid is whatever my Twitter feed has forced down my throat.
Yeah, who cares about the Olympics, Pipe? Like literally, I mean that in the most earnest way possible. I'm not saying who cares.
Same people who live tweet red carpet events. You know, it's like the people who are like live tweeting the dresses and the interviews for the Grammys and the Oscars. I'm pretty sure that's the Winter Olympics crowd.
Interesting. Pipe, I don't think I could name one athlete in the Winter Olympics.
Oh, let me think.
Besides like the snowboarder, right? What's his name with the red hair?
Sean White.
Is he still doing it?
I don't know. Yeah, is he?
He's still doing it. Yeah. Because I saw this like crazy epic. They showed it during the Super Bowl, this crazy, like epic commercial where they're like playing like the music where he's getting like pumped up and like like his whole life is on the line this year again, of course. And oh, by the way, it's spelled PYEONG Chang 2018 Olympic Winter Games.
Interesting.
Well, that's a terrible hashtag for any purposes, because it's like half your characters, even with the 280 character limit.
It's bad.
Let's see. There's a skier. Her name is Lindsey Vonn. Like that's right. Like
she used to be married to Tiger Woods, or am I making that up? Where am I getting that?
Maybe she dated him. Let's go with it. I mean,
yeah.
Fact checking is for the birds. So
absolutely.
I'm gonna go with that. Other than that, I don't know that I can name any. Well, here's the thing. I don't think I could name half the sports, and sports are in scare quotes. For this particular event, like when you start to combine like sledding with sequins and shooting rifles, and it's like you call that a sport, you've lost me. And then it's a judged competition, which means it's still like anything that is determined by judges is already questionable as a sport.
Yeah, that's true. I totally agree, Pipe. Big R, have you watched any Olympic coverage thus far?
Yeah, I was at a restaurant a couple nights ago, and I accidentally watched it because they had a big TV that was right in front of us, and they were showing like which I don't really mind. Like those crazy downhill ski jumps to me are fascinating because it almost looks like they invented a way to fly. And if they could just keep floating and not land, then they would have figured that out, right? And so whenever I'm watching them, I'm always thinking like this is the craziest thing in the world. And when they show the little like when they show the little like view of them like looking down where they're starting, the start point down that ramp, I just feel terrifying. Like this is the craziest, most terrible. Like that's the kind of stuff that you have nightmares about. Like at least I do. Yeah.
Yeah. That sensation of falling indefinitely. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. But at the same time, it's fascinating and I wish I could do it, you know? So I kind of get a kick out of that. But like, it's like I watch it for about 10 minutes and then you just kind of go, cool. And you've got it, right? You're good.
Yeah.
I feel like that is that is the Winter Olympics, is you watch something for about 5 minutes and you go, oh, that's cool. And then they keep doing the same thing over and over.
I mean, technically that's all sports for me, Pipe. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It feels very repetitious.
But they're all scripted routines. Like it's everything is on a track or everything is a scripted routine. At least like in basketball or football, there's the chance for an athlete to show off something and surprise you. Like you can be surprised on any given play. Whereas like in figure skating, the judges know what they're supposed to do and they judge them according to how well they do it. It's like watching a short play except on ice with really weird costumes.
But you know what's weird? It feels like figure skating, it feels like that's the one that everybody goes like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over. Like that's like the NFL of Winter Olympics. Like everyone's just like nutty.
No, it's the Dancing with the Stars of the Winter Olympics because it's, again, same crowd. It's not like you NFL fans, football fans.
I knew you weren't going to like that pipe, but I threw it out there.
Yeah, well, it was a bad comparison.
Popularity. I'm talking popularity.
But the other thing is anybody watches it for 5 minutes and they're immediately judging the technique of these people who spend their entire life doing this. They're like, oh, did you see her form on that? Sure, her arms were loose. You know,
dude, that must really like grind their gears to have a bunch of slobs once every 4 years, like – watching you do this incredibly intricate thing that you devote your life to. And then a bunch of slobs get to like basically judge it every 4 years.
Maybe you know what's interesting about that is I find it, I'll probably catch a little bit of it, you know, on accident, just like I did the down, like the ski jumping.
If you're at a restaurant.
If I'm in a restaurant with one of those big screens, right?
Piper, do you feel like Ron just is consuming all of his television at restaurants now?
Well, yeah, he accidentally watched the Super Bowl in the exact same fashion.
Right. Whoops, I just happened upon the Super Bowl.
And sports that happen at dinner time, that is Ronnie's sports consumption.
Dude, sports at dinner time, we could talk about. That's the sweet spot for a restaurant.
Happens to be showing it, right? Which I have no control over. I'm not changing the channel.
Dude, so you're getting none of the audio. You're probably seeing it like over some guy's shoulder, so it's not ideal, but at least
zero audio, which is actually ideal for me, but that's just me. But no, what I was going to say was, though, when you watch figure skating, I'll tell you what it does for me, Big T. It kind of puts me in a mindset of stress and anxiety because, like, I'm just wait when they do those quadruple axles or whatever they're called. I'm always so afraid they're not going to land it that I'm sitting there and I'm kind of on edge, like, oh no, she's going to spin 209 times and not land properly and fall. And there's something stressful about that.
Well, yeah. And if she falls, it thereby invalidates the last 4 years.
Absolutely.
Of her life. It's over. You know, those 4 years are
the crazy thing. I just found this out yesterday. So there are skaters who go through their routine and they fall and they still score better than another skater who nails their routine because they had a higher degree of difficulty. So you get one of the stupidest things about this sport is that you get awarded for failure for trying something difficult, whereas somebody else knows their limits and they're like, you know what? I can't do the quadruple, but I can do the triple. They nail it, but they get a lower score because they didn't try something insane.
Dude, you know what I want to see just once? Some guy or some girl, because they're in the midst of like some existential, you know, angst or whatever, I just want to see him go out there and just like skate around in a circle.
That
like you and I would
so
do
epic.
Like at the mall. You know what I mean? Like a mall figured is skating rink. You just kind of you feel good about yourself if you just go around in a circle. I want to
see she'd be like, I'm just going for this new like minimalist.
It's minimalist. I'm glum. You know, she comes out in like sweatpants and like a Indiana University hoodie.
A pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Dude, yeah, holding some Ben and Jerry's ice cream and just skating in a circle. I would love to see that. That would be incredible. That'd be so worth it to me.
Punk rock.
Have you guys ever seen anything about how somebody learns how to ski jump or do like one of those snowboarding tricks? You know, they're like 28 feet in the air.
I literally always think that like the first guy that started to train to learn how to do the ski jump. I mean, what did he set up like a little BMX, like, you know, ramp in his backyard with skis on? Like, how do you learn? How do you get to that point where you're going like, you know, 20 miles through the air?
Dude, I feel like your dad has to do it. It has to be a legacy thing. You wouldn't just try it. You know what I mean?
It's fascinating, though. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, boys, also fascinating. What's more fascinating than us, right, than ourselves? And we touched on this last time. I don't know if you guys are getting any heat for our Enneagram discussion. It just the episode would have dropped today in radio time. So I don't know if you guys have gotten any blowback about that. But Big R, you dropped a ton of topics on us for this episode. So I think Leisure is agreeing with you. Wouldn't you say, Pipe, that Big R seemed fresh?
Creative juices are flowing, that's for sure.
Oh, man, the ideas are just flying out of him. And one of the ideas was, what's our Enneagram? And Big R, I'm going to need some clarification because I don't know if you mean our Enneagram just as a show, if you had to like assign like a number or whatever to the show itself or our individual Enneagrams. What did you
mean? I think I meant individual. I think it would be literally impossible to assign an Ennie to the show, to be quite honest.
Interesting. But, well, I don't know that much about it, so I'm deferring to the Ennie guy in the room. But Big R, since this was your topic and it's kind of your passion, let's talk about you first. So what's your Enneagram?
So my Ennie is I'm a 4-3. So a 4 is kind of the
four-wing three.
Four wing three, and a three is kind of the effective guy, which means I'm an art guy that actually gets art done.
I like that. I like the wing terminology. Where do we get that? Is it
what? That's just the terminology. Yeah. So your primary. So four would be what I primarily am. The next closest thing to me that kind of informs some of my fourness would be a three, and then you have a percentage of all other nine of the numbers that they have laid out as well. So you have something of everything. You just have a higher percentage of the main thing, obviously.
So you're an art guy that gets stuff done. Well, that sounds fabulous.
That's how I just like to say it. I just like to say it like that. It's a little more complex than that, but that's the easiest way to say it to people that are kind of
It also paints you in the most positive light.
Yeah, it makes you sound amazing. So what's like a bad thing about your thing, four wing three?
See, when we say bad, the word we use is unresourceful.
Oh, so. Judas H. Priest. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Unresourceful.
Well, we don't say bad because bad is it's not bad or good. It's just who you are.
Bad is only one syllable, and it's super easy to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It also has a moral component, whereas unresourceful is has to do with, you know, your ability to direct these things and use them properly.
Perfect. Oh, Judas. All right, okay. So what's an unresourceful thing about your deal?
About my – oh, gosh, man. Where do I begin? Because I'm a four, I actually tend to dwell more on the unresourceful bad things than I do the positive things. So,
yeah, fours are like melancholy mopers when they're at their worst, right?
We are. We're very narcissistic. We think the whole world revolves around us. We want to be special. So that's why I can never like NFL football because everybody likes NFL and that doesn't make me special enough to bend into something that the public consumes.
What if you played in the NFL and you were the biggest star? Would you still hate it because everyone liked it, or would you like it because it was about you?
You'd probably be hard pressed to find a four. You're not going to find a lot of athletes who are fours probably, but yeah, I would just, my public image and everything would have to be completely different to that of everybody else on the team. I would have to be the most special, most different football player on the team. Like even a guy that doesn't even really like football, but he's just there to like make a living doing it. Don't put me into that football camp. I just do this because that's what I do, but that's not really who I am. That's what a four would be as an NFL guy.
And he would write for the Players Tribune constantly.
Right. I would do that more than I would be out there training with the team during the week. Right. Just anything to not put myself down, you know, down the typical, you know, trodden path that everybody else on the team would go down. Right. I would have to be different than that. So that's kind of like those are some of the things that stick out about a four. And they're all pretty horrible, to be quite honest.
I wish we could swear on the show, Piper. what number does that make me wishing I could swear on my own program?
Oh, you just got to take it again, Big T, so that we know who you are. And I'm trying to guess about who you would be too. I'm trying to
try and guess because I literally have no idea. You guys, I don't have time to take a leak anymore in my life. I don't have time to take the Enneagram. I took it like a year ago and I forgot what I was. So I don't know who I am anymore, and I need you guys to tell me. So
you might be a 5'6", or you might be a I don't know, man.
5'6"? Can I
5'6"?
Maybe I want to do the wing.
That was a resourceful use of terminology, Ted.
Yeah, thank you, Barnabas. Thank you for validating me in that way.
Well, because you used that resourceful wing of terminology, I need to change your any right now. But
okay, what's a five? What's a 5'6"? What are we looking at there?
Five would mean you're kind of a heady guy.
Kind of the overanalyzer, right?
You're kind of you kind of analyze a lot. You're an overanalyzer. Six would mean you're kind of a loyalist. Mm. So I don't know. I don't have all the stats in front of me. I'm not a certified any dude.
Here. Yeah. Dude, you got to get your any cert, man. Could you bang that out over sabbatical? I really can.
In fact, I got a guy that keeps asking me to get it because he's a certified guy. And he's like, he can give me the certification if I go through his training. He's like, you got to do it.
Judas Priest. That'd be so funny. You should do it. Piper, what do you think I am? And then I want to hear what you are.
All right. Well, I'm trying to think. I only have moderate knowledge of the Enneagram. Let's see. One is a perfectionist. Two is a perpetual helper. Three is a, what is that? Like the accomplisher or something? Like they're always the achiever. Four is the feeler, moper. Five is the thinker, analyzer. Six is, what'd you say, loyalist?
Yeah.
Seven is like the
party guy.
Constantly chasing the new and exciting thing. Eight is like the assassin.
Eight is kind of like most lead pastors of big churches.
Yeah, they take something, take charge of everything. And then nine is, I forget what nine is. What's nine?
Nine is the I'm blanking out, man. It's just all the pressure being on the air.
You're right never going to get certified with that attitude.
I'm not. I know I'm not. I'm out. I'm already out.
I forget what nine is, but I don't know. Let me see. I would put Ted in the, Ted feels very much like a four to me as well, but a different sort of four than you because very creative, very much does not like to be pinned in a box or labeled. And loves the sort of darker melancholia of things. I could see like a 4-5, something like
maybe
that.
Maybe a 5-4. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to 5-4, 4-5. I'll take it, boys.
Big M just told me, she said 9 is what I thought Ted might be. So we need to find out what a 9 is.
What is 9? Judas Priest. Nobody knows. Let me look it up.
If only there was Google. If only what that existed.
In Enneagram.
This is really compelling.
I know. I'm Googling. Type 9.
Enneagram type 9.
The peacemaker.
Yeah, I do a lot of that, man. Here's the role I play in life.
Yeah.
Two people are in conflict. I'm in the middle. They're both dumping their trash on me. You know what I mean? I'm that guy.
You're probably a 9. You might be a 9-1, Big T. You might be a 9-1, dude.
What's the 1?
What did you just say the 1 was?
One is like the perfectionist.
No, I'm not that.
No, that's not. 9-8 maybe. You probably have some 8 in you though, man. You kind of want to dominate the world. You kind of want to do it.
Want to dominate the world, Judas. I don't know.
You want to dominate your world. You know?
I want to dominate my – Piper, what are you? I don't want to talk about me anymore. I'm done with this.
Boy, you're just you know what?
Classic nine.
You are not in the proper Enneagram spirit because the Enneagram spirit says, I want to talk about me. That is how this works.
Only if you're a 4. If you're a 4, that's true, Pipe. But yeah, go on. What are you?
Yes,
man?
Not if you're a 2 or a 9. I am at least what the test told me is that I'm a 7-8 wing.
Wow, I would have never guessed that in 1,000 years, Pipe. Take it again.
But I think I might be more of an 8 than a 7. But I don't know.
I just would have never put you at a 7. Don't be offended.
There are aspects of my personality that are 7-ish, but I'm also like the 7 is never the curmudgeon, and that is definitely me a fair portion of the time. So I don't know. 8.
But all of them have curmudgeon aspects to them, right? So all of them, when they're unresourceful, they all carry a bit of a curmudgeon-like aspect to them. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe I'm just really unresourceful. Like maybe that's just me in a nutshell is unresourceful. But so yeah, seven is like they're sort of the life of the party a good portion of the time when they're at their best. And then the eight is the like dynamic, aggressive leader type. Neither of which totally captures me because I tend to just go against the flow. So if everybody else is like enthusiastic, I'm going to be the one sitting at the back of the room with my arms crossed, and I will take charge if needed, but I'm not likely to just run in there and grab hold of the reins either. So
yeah, that's not very eight at all. So
I don't know.
An eight has to take the bull by the reins. The other thing too is take the any a couple times, because the first time you're just kind of lying. It's what you wish you were, what you want to be, and it's not really who you are. So that's, it's tough. It's like any of these tests when you're clicking off these things and you're like, this is who I want to be, but it's not really who
you are. So the first time you take it is like, it's like you're dating. It's the false self you put forward
I think it can be.
So yeah. Ted, I think you need to take it again because you were dating it the first time and then you totally forgot that whole dating experience.
Yeah, I think I probably did. I was dating and I just didn't like it very much. So I never called it back, you know? Dude, words can't express how little I care about this.
That makes me so happy to hear you say that.
But I will take it again. I'll take it again for you guys because you're my friends and I'm a loyalist. I'm a four wing nine, whatever.
Alyssa just said she'd bet money. That's cash money, by the way, that you are a 9-1. So take it twice and let's see what you are.
All right, dude. I don't give a crap, though. Seriously. I got
classic 9-1.
Dude, I got so many other things on my plate, man. I could care less, but I'll do it when I need a break and
take just, that 7 minutes out of your day, Big T, and do right. The end. There you go.
All right, Judas Priest, and then 7 days to talk about it.
Six days.
Always six days. Boys, I was in the middle of a text when you guys were talking about the Ennie. So let me flip back to our show prep. All right. Do we want to do Piper? I'm going to give you a choice here of some other Ron Martin topics that he put in front of us and you can pick. Do we want to do our three favorite things in the world or do we want to talk about our favorite hymn/least favorite worship tune?
Let's go favorite hymn and worship tune simply because, we don't talk about a ton of favorites on this. We make fun of lots of things, but favorites is kind of cool.
That's true. Yeah. And three favorite things in the world is a little broad, although we could tack that onto the end if we have time. So all right, Pipe, let's start with you. Favorite hymn, least favorite worship song.
Well, let's start with least favorite worship song in spite of what I just said about never talking about favorites. I can't name any worship songs because they're all the same in my head.
Just sing the chorus, Pipe. Sing the chorus for
us. Literally, it's just a – not joking – it is a mash of words in my head. There's vague allusions to the Old Testament. There's lots of water imagery. There might be some fire and some clouds. But off the top of my head, I can think of almost no songs individually.
Dude, what are they singing at Ray Ortland's church these days?
They do some, but I just can't remember what they are. The hymns are always what stands out to me because I actually like those. Let's see. Oh, you know, there's a couple that the Austin Stone worship folks put out themselves. One is called Jesus Is Better and the other is called You Never Change. Those would be two worship songs that I like. They're almost hymns. In terms of worship songs that I don't like, it's just about everything else. I don't know if that's actually helpful, but I it's telling that I can't pick a worship song out. If you guys started naming them, I might be like, oh, right, that one. But they genuinely all just mash up in my head into a vague, like, dancing in river while rain falls in the days of Elijah.
Named a really things. Bad one.
Yeah, it's that. Oh, that. Yes. Is that an actual song, Days of Elijah? I know it's a line from a
it
song.
Is.
That song is horrendous. Dude. That's the worst. Maybe that's my least favorite.
Yeah, that's a good one to have as a least fave, man.
What is your least favorite, Ron?
Dude, there's a lot. Some that just pop out is I hate that one that's with the chorus that just says your grace is enough like 574 times, like, you know, during the you know, just your grace is enough, whatever it does, you know, over and over and over again. That one literally drives me crazy. And I feel, I mean, I, you know, we don't do that at our place. And I, granted, I'm not in the kind of environment where I hear it a lot, but when I do, I just think, oh my gosh, but I know it's this big popular song. The other one is that our love is greater. Your love is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. That one just literally, I think it's called Our God, maybe. Like, it just drives me crazy.
That song should be called Good Job, God. Yeah. Like, you did it.
And there's that line about, like, the phoenix rising from the ashes, and you're like, oh, cool. You know, that's
clearly
awesome.
Reading Harry Potter while writing that song.
Yeah, singing about phoenixes now on Sunday. It's sweet. But, yeah, I don't know that one. And then this is a song me and Big T used to make fun of, was that song Indescribable. Maybe remember that?
I do.
Remember, yeah, we used to replace that word with every other word when we would
modify the lyrics.
That song should be renamed Adjectives.
Oh, it's just, yeah. I mean, it's actually, I mean, whatever, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's one of those ones that gets in your head, but then it gets in your crawl, right? And you're just like, ugh, like, this is not what I need stuck in my head. It's not putting me in that worshipful space. It's actually agitated, you know?
Adjectival, uncontainable. Right?
It there it is. I think you nailed it. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
I don't know. What about you, Big T? Name one that, okay, that gets on you.
Okay, so I'm gonna name my favorite hymn first. So my favorite hymn is "It Is Well with My Soul."
Oh, yeah.
That's near the top for me. That's an awesome song.
Yeah, it's so good, man. It's so good. So that one was easy. But so my least favorite worship tune, I'm kind of like you, Piper. I can't really like necessarily name them or put my finger on them. But sometimes our church will do. They'll do some of these songs and they'll just do them at like a shoegaze dirge pace. You know what I mean? And anytime that happens, I feel like I don't like that song. And I don't know if it's just like the song itself or whoever's leading worship that day, but yeah, sometimes it gets real shoegazy and my mind just kind of like checks out, you know? It's too easy to start thinking about other stuff. So I think those would qualify as my least favorite.
I think, man, there was this one song. Maybe you guys don't know the title. Maybe you guys don't recognize the title, but this is one of. I hate even saying this, but I'm going to say it. They usually play it at conferences, and it's called Revelation Song. And I literally can't stand it.
How's
and
it go?
I don't even know.
Is it the "We Will Dance on the Streets That Are Golden" song?
No, it's just it's kind of like how you just described, Big T, where it's like slow and long. I hate the chords. I hate the melody. But it's one that's supposed to be kind of ethereal and kind of deep, and you know, and it drives me up the wall. We were at a conference one time, and they started it, and I looked at Big M, and I said, dude. I cannot do this, and I walked to the bath.
Dude, I'm looking at this right now. Our church does this song, and this is the shoegaze one that I was talking about.
I cannot stand that song for the life of me.
Yeah, Worthy is the Lamb Who.
Yes, sorry. Was that what you said, Pipe? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the lyrical content is good.
No, I was thinking back to one that's older.
No, the lyrics are fine. It's just the melody. It's the way it's done. It just evokes nothing but irritation in me.
Yeah, this one's real shoegaze, man.
I mean, I think an all-time worst worship song is In the Secret. Now, I realize this is a throwback. We're going back 20 years now. But In the Secret, In the Quiet Place, that song, that
– what's the chorus, Pipe?
I don't remember. In the Secret, In the Quiet Place, In the Stillness, You Are There. Oh, and then the chorus is, I want to touch you, I want to hold your hand, or something like that. Right. I mean,
it's like inappropriate.
That song is somebody's Me Too moment. That song is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really bad one. That's kind of one that gets sort of they people kind of pick that one out as like is sort of the what were they thinking moment and why are we singing this kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But it's also exactly. It's like how did we miss this? How did we
I don't think we did. I think just the guy that wrote it got a hit out of it and everybody felt like they needed to start singing it.
When I was in high school, there's a local Christian college in the Twin Cities that would do this Sunday evening, what they would call Vespers, which is really funny because that's a Catholic worship nighttime thing. But And it was basically just a night of worship. And I don't know if they did it every Sunday night or not, but it was like the trendy thing for local evangelical kids to go to. I'm having flashbacks nods and also wondering what we were thinking. But we would go to this, and that song made an appearance once a month for like three straight years.
Yeah.
And what – how? I mean, unless it was – because that was like pre-irony. So you know they weren't playing it ironically. Like this was an actual attempt at a worshipful experience, and that's baffling to me.
Mm. It was probably just – it was a lot of it's just the mood, right? So it's not even the lyrics. Some of these songs you're describing have – the lyrics are fine, right? But it's just – it's sort of the mood. It's the, yeah. It's sort of the – it's the tempo. It's like these – you know guitar players are able to use these really long, sustaining chords, and it feels like you're in the interlude section of like a Coldplay concert, and they feel like they're evoking all this atmosphere. And so it's like that's kind of been the trend over the last 15 years. But then, you know, songs like the Revelation song, I think probably came out of that move. I don't know. I could be totally wrong, but it just feels like it. And it just, I don't know. Sometimes it just like Ted, what you were saying, does my patience need to be tested?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my gosh.
Dude, you know what? Let me say this though. I think in regards to that, vis-a-vis like me, like I am a very impatient person. Like my patience does need to be tested. Like I think it's not them, it's me. You know what I mean? Like, cause I look around the church and I see other people like enjoying the song, and like I'm asking myself, like, why can't I be one of them? You know, like what's deficient in me that I'm not enjoying this?
What's deficient in me that I just want to get to the sermon?
Do you think that there are people who just enjoy all worship songs because it's like that's the time, like it's the time for enjoying all of these songs, and they literally never think about what is sung?
I think some people like radio listeners where they just go, yeah, I just kind of like everything. Like, what do you like? I just kind of like everything. Yeah, I know, but like what? Like if you have to pick something, what do you like? Oh, you know, I don't know. I just listen to everything. I like everything. I think it's people.
Or like the K-Love slogan where it's, what is it? Positive words, encouraging music. Like that is worship music to them. It's like, it's positive. It's encouraging. And there's not a ton of, focus on what is being sung or how it's being sung. And I mean, it's probably the curse of all of us that, you know, Ronnie has a musical background and all of us are word people and writers and pay attention to how sentences are put together and, you know, how poetic something is, which means we can tear apart just about anything. But I also look around and I'm like, there's a lot of just sheep who will sing anything. Like, I mean, there used to be worship songs with choruses that were la, 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 la. And people would sing it as if that was worship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Great time to be alive.
Great time to be alive.
What's your favorite hymn, Ron? Or some of your favorites?
Yeah, I like, you know, I like some of the newer hymns that have been written. There's a song that Bobby Kay, that the Coughlins wrote, Sovereign Grace, called O Lamb of God, which to me is just like one of the greatest hymns like ever written. It was written like a couple years ago, but I like some of the, I mean, we do a lot of the older stuff, like It Is Well. I mean, I really love, and again, there's a reason why we're drawn to those kind of songs, and not just because it's trendy to like old hymns, but because, I mean, the lyrics actually do like speak to sort of like the inner workings of something, you know, inside of us that's longing for God. And so I think that's why we're drawn to those things, and why when we do get to some of these more, you know, later hymns where they're really repetitious and they're just saying things they're a little too basic. I think we just kind of push against things being too basic, and I don't think that's wrong. You know, I mean, I think, you know, but again, we're going to sing whatever's presented to us. We don't get a choice in the moment to go, hey, hold on, pal, I need you to stop, reverse, go back to that other song again. And so, you know, we're all in those situations, you know, unless you're in my situation and then you get to choose it all. Right. But
yeah,
I'm kind of jealous of being able to choose it all.
Yeah, that's heady stuff, Big R.
It's nice. It's nice to be able to choose it all. Like with my guy, I get to choose it all. It's nice.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Well, we have a list that to choose from that everything on it I practically like.
Yeah. So
but you got to plan a church to be able to do that.
That seems like classic ape behavior. Like you really want to rule the world. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, everybody wants to rule the world. That's why Tears for Fears.
A little Tears for Fears in the worship set? Little acoustic Tears for Fears?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We sing Shout and
Shout, Let It All Out.
The world. You know, we usually do our benediction with Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
These are the things I can do without. Come on. I'm talking to you, God. Right?
Right. Little something happens and I'm head over heels, you know. Out of that, you know, we do Seeds of Love during communion.
Oh, dude, I love Seeds of Love.
We have Tears for Fears weeks at our church, you know, where everything's just it's like
almost all those songs, especially Seeds of Love, could work as worship songs in a really crappy church, is all I'm saying. You know,
I mean, Tears for Fears was actually, their lyrics were so dark. In some ways, they really could. They really could. Yeah. They're like old hymns in some ways.
That's what I'm saying. They're like old hymns. They're amazing.
Oh, it's amazing.
Dude, I do like Tears for Fears, though. I feel like if somebody slipped some of that into like our church lineup, it would be a good thing.
Dude, their first two records are just definitive like moments, man.
Yeah, they're terrific.
Mean, songs are just unbelievable. Exactly.
They're terrific. More Tears for Fears. There it is, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boys, have we indeed wandered to and fro throughout this episode? I'm gonna posit that question to the two of you. I'd like your input on whether or not we've wandered to and fro.
I feel very to'd and fro'd, if that's what you're asking. I
do too. Do you mean two like on the Enneagram, two, or like two as in to and fro?
Dude, have we wandered to wing fro on the program? I feel like I'm kind of a two.
Yes, that is what we have done.
Yeah, I think we have.
We have two wing fro'd.
Boys, we have indeed two wing fro'd. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
God kept calling my heart. Like, I just knew he was my safe place.
I hope people don't walk away going, wow, you're really awesome. More than like, wow, Jesus is really interesting. I mean, he's really awesome.
Everybody on this planet is dealing with some sort of what if.
How does that one courageous decision affect the whole world?
A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for.
If you were encouraged by what you just heard, please search Trevor Talks on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com.